How are we all doing? I'm looking forward to this session. Again, a bit about me. I'm Timmy. I work for an organization called Ballers in God. We're a Christian organization of footballers. I'm not a footballer, but I work with footballers. And our mission is to see football changed for Jesus, impacting the beautiful game one by one. And part of my job there is being the social media. So I've been doing that since January, seen incredible growth, all thanks to God, since I've been there. And I also work one day in a week in the office, so I completely understand the issues with social media and trying to grow whilst you may not even be in a full-time role. So we'll be going through that. Hands up if you use social media for your church. Great. Is anyone full-time? You're full-time, great. Okay. Oh no, I meant more in social media. Okay. No, that's completely fine. So the objectives for this session is to understand the importance of social media for evangelism of port. I think we can look at so many different other things and think we can use that, but social media now, it's so big that it's important that we can use this for evangelism as well. And we'll go through a couple statistics later on in terms of how we can do that. I want to help you master the basics of social media. I know that we've not all been given different ways of learning how to use social media, so I'm going to help you with that. Discover key social media platforms and their uses. There's so many. There's too many, I'd say, in terms of even if you just want to spend time, which one do you choose? It's very tough. So I want to help you to understand what demographics kind of match with each different social media, and then how to create compelling and engaging content, which is probably one of the hardest things, especially if not creatively thinking. I want to help you with that and understand how to measure and improve your impact. This straight off might not be that easy, but if you're kind of not a beginner, maybe more intermediate or expert, this is kind of how you can kind of go to the next level in terms of your social media. So before we start, I'd just like to open up in prayer, if that's okay. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for all these people that are willing to learn, Lord God. I pray that you use me as a vessel, Father God, to share your word, Father God. And also, Lord God, so that we learn more about social media, Lord God. Help us to stay sharp in this area. Amen. We're going to start off with a quiz. It's going to be interactive. I'm sure you've just listened for 40 minutes, so I want to keep you on your toes. Which emoji is most used on Twitter? The laughing one. Any other? Hands up for the laughing one. Which emoji is most frequently used on X? The heart. Hands up if you think it's a heart. On Twitter, yeah, or X. The heart, the fire emoji, or the prayer, it depends. I don't know what you think about this one. Some people say it's a prayer emoji, some people say it's a high five. It's up to you. The answer is the laughing emoji. You were right the first time. Question two. What does DM stand for on social media? Daily message, direct message, digital mail, or data management? Hands up for daily message. Oh, okay. Hands up for direct message. Hands up for digital mail. Hands up for data management. It's direct message. It was a trick question. Okay. How many people are currently using social media worldwide as of 2025? Is it 2.5 billion, 3.8 billion, 5 billion, or 6.4 billion? Hands up for 2.5. Oh. Hands up for 3.8. Hands up for 5 billion. Hands up for 6.4 billion. The answer is 5 billion. Wow. I mean, I'm not completely sure about the population of the world right now, but I'm pretty sure it's 7? And 5 billion of them are on social media. It's a massive, massive tool that we can be using to reach people. Now I just want to talk about how to reach the right target audience. If you want the PowerPoints at the end, feel free just to email me. The email will be at the end. You can DM me. What platforms are best for each generation in the UK? So I've done a bit of fact finding and some interesting figures. And as you can see here, you've got 18 to 24, which is pretty much using everything, except for Facebook. Facebook is kind of dying, so yeah. Well, it's all right. We'll talk about it in a minute. It's completely fine. It's just the younger generation aren't using it as much. And then you've got 25 to 34, which are pretty much just using everything. And if you look at the interesting thing 5 years ago, that was COVID, when everyone had so much free time. I think a lot of that will have to do with that. And then you've got 35 to 54, which are a lot of Facebook compared to the other generations, a lot of YouTube, less of TikTok and less of Instagram, so a lot less short-form content. And then when you look at 55 and above, again, it's Facebook and YouTube, very similar to the 35 to 54-year-olds, less, again, short-form content. One of the big things there is YouTube. YouTube is a big one, but it is very hard to grow on YouTube, and we'll go through that in a little bit, in a bit of time. Look, there's four different places there where you can kind of look at in terms of social media and look to grow. The average daily social media usage by age group. So here we've got 16 to 24s, which are spending 4 hours on social media a day. You've got 25 to 40 who are spending 3 hours. You've got 41 to 56 who are spending 1.5 hours, and 57 plus who are spending an hour as well. Look, these are quite frightening, but also in terms of trying to get the gospel out, if people are spending 4 hours a day on their phone, what are the chances of one video of Jesus popping up on their social media? So again, be encouraged that this is a tool that you can use. So what platforms to use? I'm just going to go through a little bit about the platforms on social media in terms of the different, all the social media platforms are different. They cater for different things. So I'm just going to go through them. So YouTube, the predominant age group is 25 to 34, but as you saw before, there's a lot of other people that are using it. It's great for long form content. So if you've got podcasts, preachers, it's great. That's all great to go on there. They've started doing short form now. So you've got this thing called Shorts, which is similar to Instagram and TikTok, where you've got those where you just swipe all day. You just sat there swiping. It's so established that it's hard to grow. Now, YouTube, in 2015, they had issues with people uploading videos, and basically, there were quite a lot of controversial videos going out there that they big advertising companies, like your Coca-Colas, they all started pulling out because of all this controversial content going on their page. So now they've made it harder to grow in the short term, but long term it's easier to grow. This is just because then they have people monitoring your content, seeing what it's like, so that they can keep these people that are advertising on their platform happy. It's got massive rewards if you got it right. In terms of telling a story, I'd say a lot of short form content, it's very hard to tell a story. Whereas YouTube, a 25-minute, 30-minute podcast or sermon, it could just, you never know where it could go. We've got TikTok, 18 to 24, the majority of users. It's growing rapidly, honestly. To say it started just before TikTok, well, rebranded before COVID. Great for short-form viral content. It's got a great search engine for short-form content. Now, you might not know what search engine means, but it's basically, so like your Google, where you search something up, it's got a great one of those. And a lot of the younger generation now are using this to search things. So like if you go out for a meal, they'll be using TikTok to kind of see what the restaurants are offering. So how can you use that for your church? is my question, because if you're putting in the right search words in your posts, it will show up on the right people. I feel like TikTok is a lot more personable in terms of the content. A lot of the content that you'll see is majority iPhone, funnier content, but a lot of Christian content does go viral on TikTok rather than Instagram or YouTube. I don't know if I agree with that, actually. I'm going to stop myself there. 74% of Gen Z users use TikTok search, with 51% preferring it over Google, which shows you that kind of this new generation, they like searching things, but they love visual. They love seeing things as well. So be encouraged. TikTok, you might not be on it for your church, but yeah. Also, in terms of short form for your church, because it's iPhone footage, it's pretty much accessible to everyone. Instagram, it's a lot more polished in terms of what you post, and I'm sure you've seen it, especially with the rise of influencers, everything has to be perfect, whereas TikTok, it doesn't matter as much. There's this thing on Instagram called your grid, and if your grid looks nice, people like that, but TikTok, it doesn't matter, just post anything. Instagram is interesting because I think Instagram's confused of what it is at the minute, to be honest. It's excellent for short form teachings in terms of like three minute preachers. The issue with TikTok, Instagram at the minute is it keeps changing strategies. It doesn't, like I said, it doesn't know what it wants to be. So in a couple months, they're going to try and bring in like a creative fund because they don't know what they're doing. They've got stories, which is from Snapchat. They've got reels, which is from TikTok. And they're quite confused. So it's quite, if you're an older person, it's very hard to navigate Instagram compared to these other ones because there's so much going on it at the minute. And then Facebook, still widely used by all age groups, obviously phasing out for the younger generation. So how could you use that for your older generation and maybe target your posts more to an older generation than the younger generation? And it's trying to build communities back. So Mark Zuckerberg, the owner of Facebook, recently came out in a podcast and said that they're trying to bring communities back. This is something that Instagram, TikTok, the viral content, like the short form content, it's ruined communities. Whereas before COVID, you could kind of have your own place. Whereas now it's just that it's all tailored towards growth and not followers. So the follower metric is kind of dying in the world of social media, just because people will see your content anyway. As much as content as you want to see, you can keep on scrolling and it'll still be there. Whereas Facebook have said recently they're trying to build that back. Also on Facebook you've got, so Ilkeston have an Ilkeston spot, which is basically anything from the community can go in there. Does your church have an area where it's like a community space? Could you use that? Could you grow through that by just, it's targeted. Like a lot of people will talk about Facebook ads, Instagram ads, Meta ads, and pushing advert content out there. I wouldn't worry about that straight away, because Facebook, you could just put it and it's targeted in a certain audience straight away. So views in real life, I've done a little bit of a image. So if you were to get 50 views in real life, this is what it looked like. If you were to get 500 views in real life, this is what it looks like. If you were to get 5,000 views in real life, this is what it looked like. Now we can easily look at posts and think, 5,000 views, that's nothing. That's nothing, because it's always about the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. If you were getting 5,000 people at your church, you'd be happy. We'd all be happy. And so that's one thing I'd say. Don't be discouraged if you're not getting views. If you're getting 30 people, maybe four of those show up on a Sunday. That's a great start. So don't be discouraged just by the numbers. And conversions will come in the future. So I've got a little bit on social media conversion rates. So Statista reports that the average conversion rate across social media platforms vary, with some platforms achieving between 1% and 10%. Now, from what I've seen and from my work, and it's completely different, it is normally around 8% for me with Ballers in God and our work. We'll have a even just a follower conversion rate, you'll have 10% from a post kind of followers from that. These figures can serve as a general benchmark. So my idea with this bit was there's been a massive trend recently of podcasts, just live shows. If you're into football, you've probably seen Gary Neville doing them. And so from these live shows, this is kind of, from their follower rate, how many people are converting. And you have to remember, these are paid people. These are people who are going to pay to watch something, almost like a concert, just to watch these kind of podcasts. So for a general rule of thumb on your followers, you can expect 10% to kind of convert if you're posting the right stuff. I'm not saying, look, if you're posting the wrong stuff, it might not blow. I'm not going to say it's not going to blow, because it's all up to God. But yeah, there's a massive growth there, and chance to reach people, because there's a 10% chance of people converting from your followers. Now, this one might be a bit controversial, but I want to talk about how to create a strong brand identity for a church. Now, I'm sure there's loads of people looking in this room and thinking, brand, church, it shouldn't go hand in hand. And I agree. And what I'm not saying is you need to become a brand. I'm not saying that at all, but there are many big brands like your Nikes, your Adidas's, your McDonald's, your KFC's that are doing something right. They're managing to create an emotion, a stir from people. And if you can use that, I'm not saying you have to post every single values or morals that they have, but if you can use that to grow, there's a lot of psychology that goes into this. It isn't just a hope for these brands. They've got statistics, they've got everything. If you can use this to kind of build a brand identity, and this will help your church grow for sure. So what is brand identity? It's the combination of all the visual elements that make a brand recognizable, memorable, and emotional engaging to its audience. I've just put an easy translation. It's how you feel, it's how you act, and the way you think. So how do you as a church, and how does that make you feel? What brand identity is? It's purpose-driven outreach. It's about building a purpose-driven outreach. How can we reach people? How can we do it the right way? It's welcoming and inclusive. So for your church, you should be welcoming, you should be inclusive. Show that on your social media. If that's what your church is, obviously. If it's not, don't do that. But I'm hoping that everyone, because there are a lot of people that will go to church, see the social media and think, oh, that looks like a welcoming and inclusive place. But if it isn't, then that isn't what God's calling us. And yeah, building a community. Look, we already have a community in church. A lot of your Elevation Rhythm, all the big churches, Life Church, they've got a community outside of their church community, which I don't fully agree that that's what you should be striving for. But they've got a community, they're reaching people. So how can you build a community using your social media? And the community doesn't have to be massive. It doesn't have to be massive. Like we said, that 50 people, if you're building a community of 50 people that are searching and asking questions to your social media, that's a great thing. Like, they may not be Christians, they may be Christians, but if they're asking questions, it's incredible. And then a global and local impact. Strive for the top. We have a saying about, if you're going to dream, dream big. That's our kind of, I'd say it's our church motto, to be fair. If you're going to dream, dream big. So dream that you're going to have a global impact. And look, you may not feel like you've facilitated yet, but just think like a big church. And also have a local impact. Look, it's great if you're posting content that's going viral, but if you're actually not impacting your community, how important is it? When I used to work at Notts County, and there were a lot of football clubs at the time going viral on TikTok, just posting stupid stuff, like memes, stuff like that, and they were getting like 4 million followers, but you never saw the conversion rate from the followers into their stands. They just weren't getting it. So it's great having an audience, but if that audience is all the way in Brazil and you're in Ilkeston, what's the purpose in having that audience? And I'm not saying that having a big audience is wrong, but you'll need to learn how to steward that in time as well. What brand identity shouldn't be? Because it's very easy to start a brand identity and for your church. And these are kind of the things that it shouldn't be. So self-promotional. If it's all about the pastor, if it's the same faces every time, if it's all about you, then creating a social media page might not be right for you at this time, because it's not about you at the end of the day. It's about making people feel welcome. It's not about building your platform. It's about building the platform on Jesus. It's not commercial profit driven. This is something that I've been fighting with, especially with my line of work. Is we want to make money off social media, especially with YouTube, the monetization system on there. There is a way to make money on YouTube, but that shouldn't be the sole reason for it. We want to see people saved through social media. So don't let it be commercial or profit driven. Look, if it's money you're after, God will provide anyway. So don't let it be commercial or profit driven, because that isn't God's will for your social media. He wants to see people saved through it. Don't let it be exclusive or elitist. Your church social media should make everyone feel welcome. And by exclusive or elitist, I mean it's very easy to post in jokes, to talk about things that everybody wants to talk about. People that social media might not understand, but your church will understand it. We don't want that. Because at the end of the day, people who come onto your platform, they'll see it and they won't feel welcome, because they don't understand what's going on. So don't be exclusive, don't be elitist. And then trendy or fad driven. Now, I understand you probably see in social media, you're seeing all these TikTok dancers, Shamar at the back loves it. Trendy or fad driven, it is. I'm not saying don't be trendy, don't be fad driven, but choose your trends, choose your fads. Because I do believe there are trends out there that your church just shouldn't be posting. Like, there's a song at the minute, if you've been going doing the rounds on social media, that goes, I'm not going to sing it, but it's a song all about anxiety. Now, if you're posting that on your church social media, what is that saying about your church? Everything that you think, people are thinking as well. So you need to get in the head of a viewer, someone who doesn't come to church, just think in their head. So make sure that you're doing the right trends. I'm not saying don't do trends, because actually there's a way to grow on social media through trends. And if you're not kind of playing into trends sometimes, you're not reaching the potential God wants for you. So I'm just going to go into physique. Now, physique isn't like your beach summer muscles or... So it's about the logo and design elements of your social media. Your website and your social media appearance, how that looks. But also your brand's tone and voice. It's one of the key ways people can identify your voice. What makes my church different to your church, for example? Everyone's got a voice. Your church has a voice. Use it. Be different. Don't be too different. But use your voice. So we're going back to the quiz. There's two logos. Oh, it might be a bit tough to see. Shout out the answer. IKEA is... Drum roll. Yeah. Netflix. And the second logo was IKEA. Notice straight away you knew both of them. The logo on your social media matters. It's the first thing people see. It's what people connect to. So a couple of weeks back, when I was preparing for this, I saw a church post a picture of a church on their social media, as their, obviously you got your profile pictures on social media. They posted a picture of the church, and then I was just scrolling, just seeing how all the churches do it. And one of their posts was, church isn't just a building, it's a people. When actually their message straight away is saying, this is the church. It's deeper than that. Look. So for our church, we've just got our logo, Arena Church. It builds a connection, and we're fortunate to have six other campuses. and each one have a different color representing that campus. So then people straight away can identify the different campuses by their logos. Why logos matter? I've gone through a little bit. When I mention a name, you instantly can put the image against it. So even if the logos weren't there before, if I said Netflix straight away, you'd think, when I say McDonald's, you're thinking of the Golden Arches straight away. A strong leader, a strong logo can lead to higher engagement, for example, followers. So before I joined Ballers in God, I ran my own social media page called Dunamis Voices, which was similar to Ballers in God, where I posted kind of Christians' testimonies, Christian stories of sports athletes. And through that, I saw massive growth. But the start of this was, I was just reading my Bible. I hadn't seen any growth yet. And I was just reading my Bible. I was reading Acts 1:8. And it's talking about, I am giving you the power to go, the power of the Holy Spirit to go and declare to all the nations. And that just stirred in my spirit. And so I've got a study Bible, so it's got like the subtext. And in there it had the Greek word dunamis. And there was just a stir in my spirit. And so I changed the logo, I changed the name, and straight away, one of the videos that I posted that hadn't been getting any traction ended up getting 6.4 million views, which is incredible. It was a video of a professional football manager declaring his faith and talking about Jesus. And it converted followers, and that just shows you that when you look like a brand, when you look real, it makes a difference to people. I've also put different fonts, styles, and color palettes. Now, obviously I couldn't get any handouts out, but I can send you the PowerPoint at the end. There's loads of different fonts. So if you're going for a more luxury feel, depending on where your church is based, it might be based in a higher class area. And you want to attract those type of people, maybe it's that you choose these to go with to kind of bring those people in, because when we're looking for churches, we look for what most engages us, what we feel part of. And now whilst that we want to see all different generations and different backgrounds, if this is where the Lord is leading you, maybe it's time to change your brand focus to more of a luxury feel. To bring these people in. There's more friendly, so these would be great for kids' church. If you're more tech-focused church, you've got different fonts, different colours here. And then we've got a more minimalist feel as well. So a lot of clothing brands at the minute are using it. Fear of God, Represent. Big ones like that. So there's four different ways there, but there are so many more if you just go online and search up brand identity, styles, it'll just come up. A social media appearance, I've gone through this a little bit, but how do you post, what do you post, how do you make it look good? So your content should represent your church's mentality, how it feels, your personality. If you're a very happy, vibrant church, get that on social media. If you're a sad church, actually, don't do that. but try and find content. If that's not who you are, find ways, find content. Think creatively outside the box on how you get that up. But I'm sure everyone in here, churches are completely fine. Share photos of your congregation, events, volunteers, not just graphics. I love seeing people. I love seeing people at church, even if it's on a different social media. I love seeing brothers and sisters in Christ at different churches. So fully make sure that you're representing your church, and don't be doing it injustice, because actually content with people's faces in it do way better than graphics is what I've realized. So make sure that you're using that, because actually through faces, through content like this, people can connect with your church as well. They'll go, oh, this looks like a happy church. I want to go here. Quality matters, but not perfection. You need to have a certain level of quality. Look, don't just post anything. It doesn't matter what you post, especially if you want to get millions of views. It's important to post the right stuff. So we're very fortunate, and I understand not everybody is in the same position as us. We have two or three cameras for photography, and we also have a video camera for filming podcasts, YouTube, or even just getting shots. So you might have seen Jack running around today, just getting shots of behind the scenes of the day. Quality matters, but one thing I've realized this week, so this week I had the privilege of, with Ballers in God, going down to Somerset for a retreat where a lot of the professional players just kind of reflect and fellowship and just spend time with God. I had the privilege of going down there and getting content for it. And what I noticed most about this was all of our content was pretty much shot on a phone. And by God's grace, it's all done, performed really well. So don't be afraid to just use a phone. If you've just got a phone, use it. Use the tool that what's in your hands. I think it's in Exodus when Moses is talking, when God is talking to Moses, he talks about the staff, and he says, "Moses, what is in your hand?" And God used that. So yeah, don't be afraid to use what is in your hands, because actually God will do abundantly more with the little that you have than you could do with the masses. Your online physique should represent your mission. So our mission is to love and serve. Go grow, love and serve our world. So through social media, the posts that we post, every single post, we try to make it reflect that mission. That we are going, we are growing, and we are trying to love and serve our world. And it's such a powerful statement, to be fair, just that on its own. But I believe if you look at social media, you'll get that message straight away. Tone and voice game, we've got another game. So I'll read them out, because I know there's probably a little bit of an older generation at the back that can't quite see. So basically, I've got two statements. I'm going to go through them both. It's not just food, it's a feeling. That crispy golden taste served just the way you love it. Every time, we're here to bring a smile to your face with every bite. KFC? Interesting. There will be answers in a minute. And then the second one, have it your way. Our flame grilled burgers are made just how you want them. No compromises, you're the king here, so take the reins and build your perfect meal. Burger King. The answers was McDonald's for the first one and Burger King. Now the McDonald's one was a bit harder, but straight away, just by the little captions, you can tell who these brands are, who they are, what they are sharing, what they want. What they are offering you. How do you do that on social media? How do you write captions that captivate people and people know straight away that it's you? True. A little story for me. When I started social media for the church, I started at Mansfield, and Eleanor's the head of socials at our church. And straight away, I was just studying the way Eleanor posted on social media, because she is way better at just getting emotion out than me and making people feel welcome. So like she'd say, we'd love to see you here this week. And I'd pretty much just copy it and just think, how would Eleanor write this? So Eleanor is the voice of our church. I'm joking. Types of content to post. There are so many different contents that you could post. Here's just a few of them. So we've got sermon recaps. So if you've had a sermon, could you set up a camera at the back? Could you set up a phone? Or even, it doesn't even have to be that. If you could make a graphic and create a recap of what was shared in that service. Testimonies. There's always power in testimonies. I shared that one of a professional manager that got 6.4 million views. Now that's because it's a testimony. People hadn't heard it before, but obviously it helps that he's a football manager. But people want to hear testimonies. I'm sure you've seen so many on social media. And this doesn't have to be you, for example. You've got a full church of people that have incredible testimonies. If they're willing to share it, obviously get their consent, how can you use that? You could share Bible verse of the day. So YouVersion is great at this. You could even take some of their graphics. They have resources for churches. Could you share a verse of the day for your congregation? Upcoming events. Now, I don't know how many times I've gone to a church event or gone to a church and they've had no notifications on there. How are people going to know? A lot of people just go on social media for things. If you're going to a tour, if you're going to a concert, for example, the first place you see it is on social media. So why wouldn't you use it for your social media? If you've got a big event, use it. Worship moments. Can you post worship moments? This week we've had, for Ballers in God, we've had loads of worship moments of people just in adoration and joy at the retreat, just on their knees in worship. And it's done really well because it's real. Deep calls out to deep. So yeah, can you put up some worship moments? Weekly challenges. Maybe you set some weekly challenges for the whole congregation or for people on social media. Weekly challenges. So for example, it might be share the gospel with three people this week. Something like that. It's a nice little challenge that people can do. At the end of the week, you can follow it up with, how did you complete this week's challenge? It's nice, it engages people. It's a lovely little bit of an engagement tool. I wouldn't say just post weekly challenges. It's like a pick and mix. Like, you know when you go to a sweet shop? It's a pick and mix. Choose what works for you, what you like from this list. Pray about it, and then hopefully use it. Midweek devotionals. Could you post devotionals? So we don't post devotionals on our church social media, but what we do is we have a fantastic guy called Morgan who does our email list. Every week there's a devotional that goes out on our emails. So can you create a midweek devotional for people? Because also you need to engage people, not just on Sundays, midweek. It's easy for us to kind of live and say, you need to be at church every week, every Sunday, and you do. And we say, look, you come to church Sunday, but you're not doing anything midweek. Are we offering them anything midweek? Make sure you're offering something midweek. Quotes from Sunday, which is similar to the sermon recaps. I went over it a little bit earlier. Baptism celebrations. Everyone loves a baptism, even in the church. So why not get those up there? Community impact. How can you impact your community in terms of, like I said earlier, in terms of engaging them? Little prompts, little challenges, quizzes, anything like that does work. Prayer requests. If you don't know what to post, why not ask if they've got any prayer requests? It's a powerful way of just getting some prayers to people, for people. And look, a lot of these, I'm going to be completely honest, we don't do this on our social media. And as I was preparing this about sharpening, I have definitely been sharpened in this area, and it's something we'll be starting to do more of. So I'm not saying I'm the perfect person here. These are just some of the ideas, and as I came to the Lord with how I want to go with this, this is what he shared. And then behind the scenes content, I said about, could you do videos of what your congregation are actually like? A lot of people, the fear of, what do I dress? What do I say? Where do I sit? What are people going to be like? What are people going to think of me? You could remove all of those barriers straight away by the social media, having videos, having photos on there of just people's personalities in your church. Because I'm sure everybody in here has said, or has someone that in their church that says, they'd be great on camera. They should be on TV. So I'm going to give you a couple like more resources now. We've gone through the main chunk of stuff. I'll try open up for questions at the end. Editing, so we've got edits here, which is completely free. It's an Instagram app. It's recently launched a month or two ago. But here you've got all the viral sounds on there, Whereas, for example, CapCut and Premiere Pro, you'd need to download the sounds, whereas in edits, you don't need to do that. It's quick and simple. It'll be easy to pick up. If you ever need any help with picking it up, feel free to reach out or even grab me during lunch and we can go through it. It's often, so like sometimes it's built into your phone, so straight away on Instagram, if you get a new phone, it can be in there. And then we've got CapCut, which is, it's interesting. I think it's trying to now compete with other big editing. So Premiere Pro is like the premium, you're getting like professional level editing. And CapCut is trying to get into that market as well, is what I believe from what I can see from the outside. So yeah, it's very easy, drag and drop. You can just use it on your phone, quick edits. They've got nice templates on there, so you can just use a template. And that's one thing Edits doesn't have, which I hope they bring soon. They don't have any templates. So you could literally just put all your photos in a template and it'll do it for you. You can change the text. And yeah, that's pretty straightforward. You do need to be careful that they do have a premium version, but you can just use the free version. And there's a watermark at the end that you just need to remove, and then you'd be completely set for that. Premiere Pro is the one that we use most at church. It's professional level. A couple movies have been made on it. Not for our church, just in general. Coming soon. It's more advanced. It's a lot harder to use. If you're struggling with any of these, there'll be YouTube tutorials. I can send them through email if you email me at the end. It's advanced, it's high quality. If I was going to use, so we film a podcast every week and we're starting to clip up preach sermons. If I used either of these to create a podcast, it just wouldn't work because it'd take too much time, whereas Premiere Pro, it makes it a lot more easier. So maybe you're in a more advanced stage with your social media, you're looking to use it. It is paid, so I don't know the price, but you do have to pay for it, and it is a hefty fee, which... the cons of each of them. Not ideal for long form, like I said, not ideal for long form. These are great for short form, so even like if you're using, so Eleanor uses it, Melody uses it for our church young adults social media, student social media, sorry. And it's easy, you don't have to kind of load up your computer to do it, you can just quickly drag it, complete it on your phone, bish bash bosh, it's done. Again, it's a steep learning curve with Premiere Pro, but I find it easy to understand, but that could just be me. Graphic design tools, so maybe you want to create graphics and you don't quite know where to start, or maybe, yeah, if you don't know where to start, Canva is the best place to go. It's the church's best friend, I'd say. In terms of graphics, in terms of putting text over photos, it's incredible. And the great thing is, if your church is registered as a charity, you get Canva Premium for free. Again, there is a premium version, but don't worry about that at all. Because the free version, I used the free version for about a year with our church stuff before even moving over to the premium. The premium just gives you more kind of graphics, stuff to use. People to learn from. Now, I'm not an expert, like I said. So here we've got Adam Masseri. He's authoring Instagram, so he's the head. He's the head of Instagram. So in terms of, I learned about the editing platform way before it even came out. Give him a follow on Instagram because he kind of launches things through his social media. He has great tips on how to grow, new features come in. So he's a great guy to just learn from. Think Media. Now, if you're looking to get a more professional setup for your church, they help a lot with camera setups, stuff like that. They can talk to you about how to create a podcast on video. And another thing on Adam Masseri, to be fair, he does a live Q&A. So on Instagram, on his Instagram stories, he'll put up like, do you have any questions about Instagram? I've put it in once or twice and he's actually answered it. So there's a tool there where someone, an expert, is giving you kind of advice. If you need it, use it. Brady Shearer, this guy's a church guy. who kind of talks about social media, how to use it as the right platform. A lot of the statistics from this PowerPoint have been from him. So yeah, honestly, incredible service that he does. So yeah, use him. Colin and Samir, again, similar to Think Media in terms of they get interesting guests who kind of talk about social media, and I've learned a lot about how there's no one right way to grow on social media. It's one thing that you can learn from this session. And through that, you can see how loads of different other people have kind of grown through that. Tips for making the most engaging content. Again, we've talked about it before. Craft compelling captions. Post at optimal times. There are specific times that posts do better. Now, from my perspective and from what I know, afternoons do better. As for your church, it might be different. It depends on what your church is saying, and maybe like you've got prayer at 7:30. There's no point posting a post at 7:30 because no one's going to see it. No one's going to like it to kind of get it pushed in the algorithms. The best times I found to post are normally 3 to 6. That's the time when most people are on social media. You might be going to pick up your kids from school. People are on social media. Just try and get into their head of where people are, what they're doing, and that's the best way to kind of grow on social media. Is think like you're not creating the content. You're in the shoes of someone that wants to watch the content. Engage with your followers. Again, this is something that we don't really do. So people will put something in the comments and we don't really engage with it, when actually you can build a community. With Ballers in God, this is something that we do really well, I believe, in terms of engaging with followers. So every time we post in the caption, we'll write maybe a devotional or something like that, and then we'll write at the end, comment amen if you agree. Straight away, we've got 15 comments in 1 minute that says amen. So, and if you look at a lot of, we get a high engagement on comments, and I'm not saying that in terms of the post, but just we try and engage with people, whereas a lot of other big accounts that are at the same level or slightly bigger don't quite get that. And there's a community feel to Ballers in God, just from the outside. Navigating negativity. Now, you might not get this at the start, but like I said, we've got to dream big. We've got to facilitate for getting to the top. So I wanted to just give you a couple topics and a couple ways that you can navigate. Sorry, I need water. My mouth is so dry. Speaking in tongues. Navigating negativity. So we've got a rule of thumb. If you get a negativity, don't react for 72 hours. A lot of the time when you're getting backlash, you don't deserve to be getting backlash. And you'll be getting backlash from a church just for being a church, if that makes sense. Like there's worldly things that the world don't agree with us. So recently with Ballers in God, we had an article written from a big outlet in Germany. I'm not going to mention a name because I'm being recorded. But we got a lot of negativity from that. Now, we decided not to react at all. But we left it 72 hours. We prayed about it. And then we moved on. And this week, by God's grace, we've seen incredible growth, even though we've had all the negativity and backlash on it. Stay true to your mission and values, like I said. Look, you'll get backlash on certain topics that the world don't agree with, but just stay true to your values. But what I would say on that, stay true to your values, but don't get caught up in just arguing with people for argument's sake, because that doesn't look good for your church. Even it's so easy on social media to kind of, I was talking about creating a tone and voice, but it's easy for your tone and voice to get lost as well. Because it is just messages, it's not video. And if you are going to put out like a public statement, maybe something's gone wrong, I would say always do a video, because people can understand your what your tone of voice is and what you're trying to say. But yeah, don't react immediately. This is an emotional intelligence thing as well. So like even in management, so I study sport management and we learn about leadership and development. You don't react straight away if there's an issue. Leave it, wait, and then react. Because actually it's easy to be stirred in the moment, and you might be in the wrong if you react wrong. But also, if it is something you believe and it's your values, don't be afraid, just think about it. That's all I'm saying. Right, that is it. Any questions? How long we got left? How long we got left?
We've got 4 minutes.
4 minutes. 3 minutes and I'll pray. Any questions? Yes.
In terms of new to Instagram or social media, how do you find out, because there's a way of finding out the best time for your account to post due to your followers, how do you find out?
Off the top of my head, so as soon as you go onto Instagram, you go onto the homepage. The far right button, there's like a profile picture. It's your profile picture. Tap on that, and then there'll be like. So it depends if you're set up as a professional account. So you can choose to have like a creator account. You can choose to have a personal account. There's tools and metrics that will only be used if you're a professional account. I would encourage you if you are a church, change your account to a professional account so you can view the analytics, you can see how it's doing. Right, and then there'll be like a grey box that says how many views or accounts you've reached in the last month, 30 days. Tap on that, and then this is tough. There'll be like a metric that says total followers, because that will go up into your Instagram analytics, so you'll be able to see all your Instagram analytics. Total followers, and then it should be in the followers if you scroll down, if that makes sense. If not, I can help you at the end. Yes?
My question is, you know, with Facebook you get reels and you get stories.
Yes.
Now can you link those reels and stories to like TikTok?
Yeah, 100%. Okay, if you've got... Oh, so you can't post it at the same time,
okay.
But you can reshare the Facebook video to TikTok.
You can reshare that.
So you just upload the video again on TikTok.
Oh, just upload.
Yeah,
Okay, you can't actually.
Yeah, but if you post on Instagram, for example, you can press share to Facebook, and then it'll share the reel to Facebook. So that might be an easier way if you're looking.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Yeah. No, that's fine. You can't be on all of them, is what I've learned. Any more questions? Great. Not great, but...
Jimmy, how come Twitter's not on your thing? Is that like a dead media?
What is it
called? I don't know. X is great, but in terms of a church, it doesn't quite work.
Is that because it's a different
source? Yeah, it's more... Yeah, now it's more news. Also, we were talking about trends. If there's a certain trending topic on social media, don't be afraid to use it. Because that's when when the iron's hot. So if there's a trending topic, maybe it's like, I don't know, I'm just making, and in Jesus' name, I hope this doesn't happen, but 24% of young people are struggling with anxiety. Could you do a post on anxiety because it's trending? It'll get a lot more likes because people are more interested.
Yeah, hashtags.
Yeah. But to answer your question, in terms of Twitter, I wouldn't use it personally. It's just, they don't really have a video system. The photos are great, but also you will just get backlash on Twitter. You won't gain anything from it. Any more? But I just want to encourage you, be encouraged. Look, 5 billion people, there's a lot to think about, a lot to wrap your heads around in terms of social media, but this is an incredible tool. And we could see massive growth in this room just through social media. And don't just focus on social media, because if you just focus on social media, your church services won't be right. And if your church services aren't right, then there's no point in growing on social media. Isaac, you got a question? Yeah, it's small, but I can't do anything about that. Yes, Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for this time that we've spent together, Lord God. I pray that you use us as vessels, Father God, vessels of your word, Lord God. Let us grow on social media, Lord God. Lord God, I pray for a doubling in everything that we do, Lord God, that your grace will be all over it. I pray that we see people's souls saved through social media, Father God. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, guys.